Praise the Lord. It's Sunday morning. This is the 8th of December, 2019. This is the Prophet's Corner Uncut, and it's called A Tale of Two Narratives. A Tale of Two Narratives. We just had a word from the Lord about the language of the kingdom is praise and worship. You know what's good about the Lord is He's already won the battle. As far as He is concerned, He's already won the battle. So why are we not seeing the things that we need to see? Well, I believe it has to do with strongholds. You know, we spent most of our life probably complaining and griping about the status quo and all of those things. And, you know, strongholds get built up. And sometimes if we turn things around, it takes a while for us to be able to knock those strongholds down so that the message can come through. We're going to be looking at Daniel at the last of this word here about when he besought the angel. It took 3 weeks for the angel to get there. But it said, Daniel, from the first day you said it, I heard you. So we're thinking, what's the problem, God? What's up, God? What brings down strongholds? Well, we're going to look at that in scriptures. What brings down strongholds? Well, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The word of God, Jeremiah says, brings down strongholds. It's like fire, it says. And it's like a hammer on a rock. It breaks strongholds. So if we've gone our lifetime and we have been in that other camp, Satan's camp, which a lot of God's people are still in Satan's camp, and they wonder why they never see any answers or things done. It's because they have to learn the language of the kingdom. The Lord would say, go in. It's already yours. I've already given it to you. As far as He's concerned, He's already whipped the devil and won every battle. It's already yes and amen. So He wants us to go in with confidence and thanking Him that it's done, because the battle belongs to Him, right? It's not us fighting our own battles. We don't fight our battles. Jesus is the one that fights our battles. He's already fought the battle. He already won the war. Okay, Matthew 24. Verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Babylon has risen. Confusion is everywhere. See, Jesus is a Prince of Peace. He said, I come that you might have peace. In the world you have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Okay? All right, we're in a confused world. It's called Babylon. Confusion. Babel means confusion. So we live in a world right now that's very confused and very topsy-turvy and messed up in all kinds of ways. But there's a bunch in town that know the language of the kingdom, and they know exactly how to speak and what to say, and it's changing the narrative. Slowly but surely, this remnant is the power behind the president and our leaders, the patriots, the ones that are doing right, trying their best to correct. But they have no power and might to overcome except they be empowered by Christ's body. 2020 is the year of the kingdom. Danny had a good point the other day. He said, in 2020, we'll have 2020. And I said, it's about time. It's about time to have 2020 in 2020. That the nation will see the things the way they truly are. Yes. That the truth will come out about things that have been wrong, have been hidden in secret and in darkness. The one that's hidden the truth is the devil. It doesn't matter what he's been up to, whether it be the grays or the reptilians or all these weird demon forces. It doesn't make any difference, because it says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. So we love not our lives to the death. In other words, we don't have to carry care or be concerned about a thing, because we already won. Jesus already brought the victory. Right? So if we really think that way, which that's the way kingdom people think, then there's no room for care or despair or fear. But let's look at Romans 1. This is a picture of Babylon. It's the world that we see around us today. We've been seeing it for a long time. But take a good look, because it's coming down. The scripture plainly lays out Babylon will be destroyed. And it said there won't ever be any of this again. It does. It says that over in Revelation. There won't anybody be any playing their harps in Babylon anymore. There won't be any merchants on the corners. There won't be any business in Babylon anymore, because the three city states, as we know, coming down. Okay, Romans. Paul's saying in Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." This week I saw a YouTube video, just a short clip, of Nancy Pelosi announcing that she was going to move ahead with impeachment against the president. And there was a reporter that said, "Why do you hate the president so much?" And boy, she riled back at him. She said, "I don't hate anyone. I was raised in a good Catholic household, and we were raised with a heart full of love. And I don't hate the president. I pray for the president." And I'm just going, oh, you'll know them by their fruit. I'm saying, what God are you praying to? I took a picture. It was a meme of God sitting on the throne. And Nancy, it's an angel, comes up and says, "Nancy has another request. Please take out the president before 2020. And God's up there on the throne, and he's got on his MAGA hat. I'd be venture to say, if she's a proper Catholic, that she's not even born again. It sounds noble, but it's religious, and it's from the pit. I feel sorry for her. I feel sorry for some of them that are in the limelight, that are so incoherent, they can't put two nickels together. They're so confused, and they're so panicked right now. The God of this world has seized them. This is the world we're living in right now. The devil is pulling out all stops to stop us. But it won't happen. There's no way he can. How do you stop somebody that's already won? Can't. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." God's laid it down in Genesis. He's laid it down for all to see. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. He ain't going to hear no excuses when that day comes, judgment day. "Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did exchange the natural use for that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working what is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which it was fitting. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not seemly, being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, insolent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they who commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So you think about this today. This is Satan's narrative here. We call it progressive today. The progressive movement. It's just the devil progressing and continuing on with what he started in Genesis chapter 3. But we, the church, those of the kingdom, God is raising up to stop it. I believe it with all my heart. To stop it. Because before, around 2015, when the Lord began to really speak to me about the civil war that's going on, it was a war not between the North and the South, but between what's good and what's evil, period. Like a drawing of a line in the sand of which side are you going to be on? Which side will you choose? Because the devil was trying to take us out, to annihilate this place, just like he did. That's what Jesus said. When the days of Noah, it's going to be like when I come again. And that's where we're sitting today. I gave men the ability to create like I created. In Genesis 1, we see. God said. He set things down exactly the way he wanted them. He spoke what he wanted. He meant what he said. And he told the man to accomplish, to go and accomplish, to subdue the earth using the resources. Go accomplish. Go do God's will. Fill the earth with it. Now, I don't know how long between Genesis 1 and 3. I don't know how long they'd been there before the devil came and sabotaged Eve, lied to Eve, and she accepted another narrative. God set his narrative down. Male and female, kind with kind. We just read in Romans 1. They go completely against what you call nature or natural. What God set down is natural. They do anything they can to undermine that and undercut that and go just the opposite. All of their deities that they serve are all these weird goat, part human, you know, everything that goes against God and what God has laid down in creation. But he said they're without excuse because they know better. You can watch nature and know better. I told man to fill the earth by using my word, which is my narrative. The Apostle Paul was anxious about the church because of this tendency. Second, you know, a lot of people think, well, this is a new day and a new time. No, it isn't. It's just repeat and repeat. This has been going on since the beginning. One thing I've learned by watching the Democrats or the congressmen especially, you see how the devil works. He pushes one narrative and he pushes it and he pushes it. I heard yesterday, it doesn't surprise me, that even if the president gets off this time, we're going to impeach him over and over and over and over and over and over. That's their plan. Well, we have to stop that plan. We have to stop that confusion. See, that's the devil. That's the devil. Like I said, he's going to be screaming when they put him in the pit. They're never going to shut up. They'll have to be taken out. They're not going to stop because Satan is driving them. See how important that we know the language of the kingdom? We know how to bust those strongholds down by staying in praise and thanking God, staying out of worry, staying out of care. This is our weaponry. Filling our atmosphere everywhere we go where the devil can't get in. We move into a place and they have to vacate. They're going to be censored like we're censored. They're going to be so crowded into a corner they have no place to go. All right, this is 2 Corinthians 11:3. Paul made this statement. He's getting ready to go. But I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his craftiness, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, and we receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. So Satan comes with his narrative. We better know ours. Okay, let's read Genesis 6. This is what it's all about. You can have your theologians up here and all your theories, but I'm telling you, this is it. This is the same old thing over and over and over again throughout the Word of God. God said, and Satan says, hath God said, God said, hath God said, God said, hath God said. Over and over and over and over and over and over. Here we go. Round and 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 round. He's like the Tasmanian devil. He blows in, blows up, blows out. He does. He comes in to try to discredit God in any way he can to you. Personally, corporately, worldwide. Well, people are they're fed up all over the world. What I like about the Q movement is Q is worldwide. It is all over the world. It's a patriot movement. It's bringing the people together. It's giving the people hope. It's like Kim Clement having Q&A way back then. That it's a brilliant plan in the mind of God, and I get Q&A. You know, Q and his answering. He'll let you ask questions sometimes. He'll answer your questions. But God is using this to bring people together. You see signs from Iran. You see signs from Hong Kong. They got Q, and it's always written in English where the United States is saying, we're here, don't forget us, we're part of you, we're for you, we're standing. Some of them are giving their lives right now to break free from Satan's narrative. All right. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. Noah preached 120 years before the flood. And you see how few made it out. I said, Lord, how long do we have? Because this is what this is about. You could say we're building our ark. The Word of God is the ark. Many years ago, before Gloria Copeland, I saw her book. The Lord said to me, build yourself an ark. That's what my word does. It builds you an ark of safety from the onslaught of the devil, from the floods. When he comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, the same became mighty men who were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So God gave Noah the 120 years. It's not man's age. It is 20 years to preach and to change the narrative, to get as many on board the ark as possible. Earth was on a collision course. The ark was the rescue vessel at the time. Wasn't long. We see this after the flood resurface again in Genesis chapter 11. You could say this is the history of the world. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they built there. They said one to another, come, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, come, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered or brought upon the face of the whole earth. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people are one, and they have all one language, and this they began to do. Now nothing will be withheld from them when they have imagined to do. Come, let us go down there and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. The Lord scattered them abroad from there upon the face of all the earth. They ceased building the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did confound the language of all the earth. From there did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the whole earth. So God scattered them. Now Nimrod was a Nephilim, and his idea was to build a tower to God. I heard Rob Skiba talk about this Babylon, that it was a city that was, I think he said, 200 miles high. It took them a whole year. They had constant workers up and down this tower just to get to the top and keep it working and keep it going. And it had that pediment on it, so that's what the ark was covered in that kept it from sinking. So they were thinking, we're going to build our tower. We're going to have a gateway to God, because Satan's going to exalt himself, Isaiah 14. He's raised up men to exalt him. So they thought, we'll do it to where if the Lord floods stuff, you know, we're high enough where he can't reach us, and then the city's sealed in with this pitch and stuff, so we'll be okay, we'll be safe. His towers are never going to win. They'll always be brought down. God will always bring them down. Whether it be the tower in your own mind, the own Babel in your own mind, the old battle you fight with the two narratives, or it be out there in the second heaven where the demons, the prince of the power of the air, and his strongholds. Understand what I'm saying here? Mm-hmm. It's the same old tactic. It is not rocket science. I didn't have to go to seminary to learn this. All right, the tower was made of waterproof material. They thought they would best God and reach heaven even if the floodwaters came again. But God made a promise after that. You know, I don't know how many times the earth had been flooded. Kind of indicates that the earth had been flooded before, when God saw the earth out there covered in water and dark. That something had happened before. Satan had been there. It's obvious. All right, Genesis 9. The rescue boat is not a natural boat or a flood of waters. It is an ark of safety called the Word of God. God wants it to flood the earth. In Genesis 9:12, it's the story of God having Noah, them getting the ark, him rescue all of them, and everything on the earth is drowned and taken out. Then on 9:13 it says, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. So God is not going to flood the earth again. He's expecting us to build ourselves an ark with his word. He wants the earth covered with his word. This is Habakkuk 2, or Habakkuk, whichever way you want to say it, 2:14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's what the Lord wants. He wants his narrative to cover this nation, this world, as the waters cover the sea. Not a flood of filth and perversion, murder. No more flood to destroy, but a flood to restore. This is what the history of the world has been about. It's been about the tale of two narratives. Our commission is to change the narrative and keep it in control. That is what it means to subdue. God's will in earth as it is in heaven. It is a battle of words. Satan's words that kill, steal, and destroy. God's word that give life, and that abundantly. You can be in the Word day and night, but if you are not a doer of it, what good is that? If you don't do it, Satan will do it, and you will not like the results. Now listen to that. You can sit and sit for hours and hours and speak the Word and do all the things that you do, trying to get an answer and everything, but if you're not going to be a doer of the Word, it is here and here and here and here and here, and you get fat, lazy, sleepy, and you don't do it. You know what doing the Word is? It's like we talked about this morning, what Danny said about. If you already believe that God's already done it, and everything you're asking God for, before you got here today, the answer showed up, how would you act? We get back to his language, the kingdom language. The Word says yes and amen. So we say, well, it says so, so I believe it. And I don't care how I feel. I don't care what you have to say about it. The truth is, this is the way it is. Learning to walk that way. Learning to act like what you preach and you speak and you say is actually the truth. Enough so that you convince others. It's not always easy to overlook, but we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't walk by our feelings, and we don't walk by how our body feels, and we don't walk by what our bank account says. We don't walk by what circumstances dictate. We walk by faith. What is faith? The language of the kingdom. All God's promises are yes and amen. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I supply all of your needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. When you walk through the waters, I will be with you, and the rivers, they will not overflow you. Walk through the fire, you will not be burned, neither will the flame kindle upon you. On and on, I could go as far as what the Word of God already says about us. Being a doer of the Word is acting like, hey, it's all done. We wonder why the Lord allows us to go through the things we do. He's training us to walk independent of circumstances. Paul said, I walk in resurrection life even while in the body. Now we know what Paul went through. We know the list of stuff he went through. He said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. His back probably looked like a racetrack. Bruises, scars. There's really no telling what he went through. Or what he tells you what he went through, but just exactly what he looked like and the scars on his body and things that he suffered for the Lord Jesus. But he said, I'm not cast down. I'm not down in the mouth. I glory in those things because the power of God rests on me when they do. That's not easy to hear. Lord, I'd much rather be the other way. But anyway, it's the truth nonetheless. We have to make a decision. Are we going to be a doer? Are we going to walk around like nobody knows the trouble I've seen? Oh, pickle prune face and nobody. Who wants that? We've seen that crap our whole life. Excuse the word. A bunch of yes, but all during the week, they couldn't. They drag through life and there is nothing good. All they ever speak is care. Grew up with that. No, the language of the kingdom is somewhat differently. The language of the kingdom is like Jesus saying, looking at the cross, despising the shame, but for the joy set before him. He was looking to the end result. Not what he was going through, but the end result. We're his end result. Okay. James 2. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? You know what I believe that saying here? I'm thinking about if you spend all your days and hours confessing, praying, all to get answers for yourself, but people pass you by every day and you ain't got a moment for them. That's what that's talking about. You don't have any, you're so focused, and that's what got me disillusioned about the Word of Faith, even though I'm a Word of Faith preacher and I do believe in it. It's the truth. But on the other side of it, if all you're ever focused on is what you can get, all about me and my needs, and what about this and my this and my this and my this. Always focused in instead of focused out. Faith is for the kingdom operation. If we believe the word is true, then we really don't have any needs, do we? No. We really don't. If God said it's already yes, so don't take a thought. I had something come to me a few days ago, and I started, you know, the tendency to take care. Lord, just quicken to me. Take no thought. Taking no thought means no thought. Take no thought. I said, oh yeah, right. So I cast it off. Casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. Because the enemy comes with his bag of thoughts of care. Care's a snare now. Because as a roaring lion, he's seeking someone to seize upon and devour. It says withstand him. Don't let him do that to you. And one of you shall say, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, but what doth it profit? God has given you what he's given you to promote the kingdom and to do for others. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The demons also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. To me, the very first act of faith is to act like what you've asked for is already done. Doesn't that make sense? Give thanks. In like manner also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Stop screaming at the leaders to do something. It is time for you to do something. We fell asleep and look what the thief did. He ruined everything. So what is he telling us to do about what the thief has done? Mark 11. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. There's a little something I wanted to read to you. The Lord just quickened it to me. This is a Q Post 3656. Democrats want a disarmed America. They want the pop. They want to disarm the American populace, that so they can control them. You know, the narrative. They want to take away your Second Amendment. In other words, this is from the Declaration of Independence. I had been speaking for a strong militia in the United States of America. In fact, an active militia, a mandatory. But it be girls and boys between certain ages, you know. This is from the Declaration of Independence, that whenever any form of government becomes destruction of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object invents a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right. It is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security, we the people. This is talking about the militia. It's talking about going up there and saying, we have had it with you, and blow them all to hell. I'm telling you, this is what this is talking about. It says, it is our duty as United States people to quit putting up with the stuff that's happening. I said, Lord, is that what they're waiting for? Are they waiting for us to get to the point that we're so fed up that we storm D.C., yank them out of their offices, into the streets, lynch them, and elect new officials? That's what it's indicating here. Mm-hmm. Seem hard? Well, I'll tell you what. Being nice is not working. Being nice is not working. Trying to be courteous and do things the right way is not working. The Lord is not going to flood the earth again. So many are just sitting back and seeing what will happen. We can't do that anymore. We must subdue. We have to be radical as the church today, the few of us that are awake. We have to. This is Revelation 11, 12. It says, we've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We love not our lives to the death. When Jesus comes, that's exactly what he's going to do. He's going to take the sword of his mouth and he's going to wipe out all the Antichrist armies. Whatever they may be, creatures from the Lost Lagoon, I don't know. Who cares? Build yourself an ark by hearing and doing the word. It is up to you and me. Will we let our earth go down again? Or are we going to do something about it? We must follow Jesus' example. This is our last stand. We can't depend on the president, even though he's sent from God and he's doing things in the natural. It's up to the church. This is about the church. Rather, who it affects, rather these cultures it affects are not even Christian cultures. This is about two narratives. This is about the devil winning or Jesus winning, which we already know Jesus has won. We got to stand. This is Ephesians 6. We have to have the full armor of God on, and it says, when you've done all to stand. The Lord says, speak, my warriors, and don't back down until you see all the strongholds flat on the ground. Joshua chapter 6. We cannot get lackadaisical because we start seeing a little bit of a turnaround, maybe a little, the tilting to the right, an inkling. We have to rally. We have to rally. That's not a signal to relax. That's a signal to get even more radical. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. The Lord said unto Joshua, see, I've given into thine hand Jericho and its king and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. Shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. He said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him who is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priest who blew with the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. Now this is key. They had to all be saying the same thing. Not independent ones saying things. They had to all be saying the same thing. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. And 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually. And blew the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp, so they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. Came to pass on the 7th time when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout! For the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are in it, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in every way keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted. And the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down, so the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And the utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, and with the edge of the sword. So, sounds like a kind of like the militia, doesn't it? The Lord said, the city's yours. Go take it. Don't allow anything to get past you. Pay attention. No longer be distracted by the false flags of the enemy, whether it be in the country or in your head. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. Our weapons of warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Thoughts that come against you. If he can keep you occupied with yourself, you won't get anything done. Jeremiah 23:29, I quoted it earlier, but it's a really great scripture. In fact, many years ago, a certain gentleman that used to come to this fellowship that is no longer among the living, he said, "Lord spoke to me, this is your ministry right here." I said, "Okay." So I looked it up. "Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" Setting people free from the strongholds of their minds. Right there. Put your angels to work. They're what, sitting around waiting. So I wish they'd get their mind off of themselves and get to work here. We're ready to go kick some devil. Daniel 10. Verse 11. "And he said unto me," this is an angel speaking to Daniel, "O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I not now sent. When he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." He prayed, and it was like 3 weeks. No answer. But he had a stronghold. His angels were stopped because of a stronghold. They couldn't get in. But Michael showed up, the warrior angel, and helped him break through. Okay, Psalms 103. God hears, but it's up to us to keep our airways clear. Keep them strongholds pulled down. Don't let the devil get you into one of them those times. Psalms 103, 20. "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure." So they're there. They're activated by the word of God. Okay, Hebrews 1. If you want your angels to work for you, you're going to have that kingdom language going. You start speaking things that are contrary to what God's will is, they're going to fold their hands and let down their wings because they can't do anything with that kind of talk. They're hearkening to the voice of His Word. Hebrews 1:13 and 14. "But to which the angel said he at any time, Sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" They're here to help us. Use your keys. This is Matthew 16. Verse 19, "And I will give you unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now, he's not talking about where God is in heaven. I believe he's talking about the dome is called heaven. I think it's Genesis 1, 6 through 8 talks about the dome God called heaven. Well, In our upper atmospheres where strongholds are. We have control in heaven, earth, under the earth. So we have the power to bind and loose those things. Keep the mixture out of your mouth and you will see victory when you shout. Okay, James chapter 3. Verse 1. My brethren, be not many teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater judgment. For in many things we all stumble. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they are so great and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, wherever the plot willeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. If you don't believe it, just look around you. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. No wonder that all nature is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the earth, sea is tamed and hath been tamed by mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. What we see is people listening to Satan and speaking his words. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men who are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same time sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, either of vine, figs? So can no fountain yield both salt water and fresh? So we need to watch our tongues. Watch what we say. Choose wisely. Matthew 6:24 says two masters. There's two masters. The tale of two narratives. It's up to you. Okay.